Well, that one-of-a-kind love that Jesus loves us even when we do wrong was the overarching theme of the whole week and what we want to talk about this morning. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles, I want you to grab them. And if you don't, they'll be on the screen to my left and to my right. And we're going to go to John 3:16, a verse that many of us know, probably used to be one of the most famous. Now it's probably "Judge not, lest you be judged." But John 3:16 is our verse, and then we're going to flip over to 1 Corinthians 13. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then 1 Corinthians 13. Starting in verse 4. "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was like a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this unbelievable, mind-blowing reality, which is God's love for us in Jesus. And Lord, this morning we come and we come to hear from you. We come to hear what this Christianity thing is really all about. It's all about Jesus and about his love for us. And Father, I pray this morning that we would see that in new ways. Whether we are a boy or a girl or are 80, 90 years old, no matter where we are on that spectrum, Lord, that we would come and be freshly amazed that God would show such unique, one-of-a-kind love to people like us. Lord, we pray for not merely those in this room this morning, but Father, for those who are in our larger community and church community are hurting. Lord, we pray for Pete and Carol Tamling. Lord, we pray for healing. Lord, we pray for comfort to the Calvert family and for the Willie family. Lord, we thank you for them. We pray that you would bless them in this time. And Lord, we come to offer everything we are to you. May you be glorified in all that we do, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to ask all the boys and girls to come up front and gather around here. All right, you guys can sit down right in front of me on the floor there. All right, everyone grab a seat. Well, this morning, we are going to kind of continue this theme we had all week about weird animals. And so we are blessed this morning to have our very own Jack Hanna, also known as Tim Mortar, with us this morning. And Tim has been very willing to come and to share with us, all right, everyone, sit down, to share with us some of his favorite animals. Now Tim doesn't work with animals by trade, but he has a great heart for animals. And the two animals he have are very unique. Now, first, you see, he's got a dragon. All right, a very teeny-weeny dragon. He's called a bearded dragon. His name is Mika. And his relatives, you know what country his relatives come from? Australia. All right, guys, everyone say, "Good day, mate."
Good day, mate.
All right, and he comes from the woodlands, and as you can see by his claws, he loves. Everyone sit down. Shh. Sit down. You better touch him later. All right, everyone make room. Is that he likes to climb. Now, guys, do you know of any other lizard that can change color? What's it called? A chameleon. Well, these God made to also change in various degrees. They can get a little darker, a little lighter, just like a chameleon. That they have this amazing sense to feel the different vibrations in the ground. And you see that, look at his skin. Is it rough and bumpy? Well, you know what? It's that way for a reason. Do you know what it's for? Now, when it rains, it collects waters in between all those bumps. And it goes down and is able for him to be able to drink. Isn't that cool? And how many of you have lost your teeth? Right? He has the same problem. Only it keeps on happening over and over again. Their front teeth fall out every once in a while. And they grow new ones, just like you did with your baby teeth. Isn't that cool? But you know what the most unique thing about a bearded dragon is? It's why how he got his name. Now, do you see a beard on him? No. But you know what happens? When he gets frightened, he's able to blow up his chin. And he gets really dark like a beard. And so we call it a bearded dragon. Isn't that cool? You see, God makes all these things unique. Now, Mr. Tim also has another animal. Another animal that most of us would prefer not living in our house, but he actually feeds. All right, everyone move back. Give some space. All right, everyone sit down. Sit down. Shh. Sit down. Everyone sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Shh. Add a few hundred kids and you get what my week was like. Now, Tim. Yes, don't scream. Everyone be really quiet. Now, Tim's other special pet has a very appropriate name. His name is Bubbles. The best name for a tarantula possible. I'd be very careful, guys. Now, tarantula is what kind of insect? It's an arachnid, which is a spider, right? Now, what do you see that's different about the spider? He's furry. He's one of the largest spiders in the world. And you know that there's over 700 species of this one spider. All right, everyone, guys, sit down. We need everyone to sit down. Shh, sit down. Now, the spider has something very special about it. You see, if it's endangered, it has these special quills underneath its belly that he can go and can shoot out and to get anyone who tried to hit him. Would that hurt? Yeah. He also, unlike other spiders, what do spiders typically make? Webs. Well, he doesn't do webs. He does silk. And he tries to hunt his prey by being very, very sneaky. Now, one thing about him is that when he gets bigger, do you know what he does? Shh. As he grows, he begins to shed his exoskeleton. Do you know what an exoskeleton is? It's like the outside of his body. His inside kind of gets big and it gets rid of the old one. Isn't that cool? It's called molting. And you know what the most weird thing about this animal is? Is that not only does it have to worry about some other animals eating it, guess who else likes to eat them? People. Can you imagine eating that? Oh, it's gross. But how many like peanut butter? I don't know from experience, but people tell me it tastes like peanut butter. Anybody want to lick it? I'm just kidding, guys. I'm totally kidding. Do not lick the spider. Do not lick the spider. Now, there's one last thing. Shh. What makes the tarantula so unique is this. It's blood. Other spiders don't have it. But there's something very unique about the blood of tarantula because ours have these cells around them that enable them to go, but it doesn't have it. It's a unique all to itself. And so when you think of tarantula, that biggest thing that's so unique about it is something we don't even see. Now, all right, everyone get a look at the spider. Now, do you guys like these weird animals? Aren't they cool? It can sit, it can walk, it can stare. He's worked hours upon hours, endless hours, training it to do those things. Well, guys, why don't you thank Mr. Tim for bringing his special pets this morning. You say thank you, Mr. Tim? All right, everyone, go sit around out here. All right? All right, everyone, sit down on the floor right around me, okay? Those animals are really cool, right, guys? Now, does anyone know, what does it mean to be unique? What's it mean to be unique? Anyone know? It means to be different. It means to be, anyone else? One of a kind. Exactly, Sarah. Is that unique means it's one of a kind. And guys, all week long, we talked about the one of a kind love of God, that it's different from everything else. Now, ordinary love is kind of like this. Ordinary love's when someone seems cool. Ordinary love is like when your brother or sister isn't annoying you. Does anyone have a brother and sister ever annoy them? Yeah. Do you ever have a brother or sister hit you? Yeah. Do you really feel like you want to love those and them in that moment? Do you want to give them a hug every time they hit you or annoy you? No. You see, yeah, that's great, Jamie. You do love in those moments. But in those moments, so often our love is conditional. So what's conditional mean? It means that the conditions have to be right. So if I feel good, if they're not annoying me, if they're not in front of my favorite TV show, if all those things are just right, then maybe I'll love them. And we like to love people who love us, right? If people like you, does it make it easier to love them? Now that's ordinary love. Now, when I was a boy, just a little bit older than you guys, I was really sad because I was so often left out. I wasn't the fastest. I wasn't the strongest. A lot of times kids would make fun of me. And it made my heart really, really sad. And I remember those moments. What I wanted more than anything else is I wanted a love that was totally unconditional. I mean, I had a good mommy and daddy and family. I knew they loved me. But to be honest, I thought they had to because of me. And I was their kid. And you know what I wanted? I wanted someone who loved me despite me. Someone who loved me who had no reason to love someone like me. Now, when I was getting up into junior high, so how many are almost in junior high? We got any like fifth graders? All right, when I was almost in junior high, is that I was really, really down and I was really, really sad. And there was this guy, his name was Tom. And Tom was the coolest guy I'd ever met. I mean, he was funny, he was athletic, and everyone wanted to be around Tom. And for some reason, Tom wanted to be around me. And I didn't understand it. Everyone else I'd ever met like him never wanted to hang out with someone like me, but he wanted to hang out with me, and he invited me to go do things like hit golf balls and go to a concert and go out to eat. And I was just so excited that he would love me, and that when I was really dealing with that struggle of wanting to be loved, he showed me a different type of love, and he kept on pointing me to the greatest, extraordinary, one-of-a-kind type of love. And that was God's love for me in Jesus. You see, there was no reason why he should love me. You know, I disobeyed. To be honest, I was mad at God. I didn't like how he made me. I didn't like how my life was going. And often I blamed him. And even though I was ugly, even though I'd put on my tantrums, even though I would be angry at him and not obey him, he showed love to me. I was totally undeserved. A love that was totally one of a kind. You see, God's love is unique. Now, how many of you know John 3:16? All right, you want to say, for those of you who know it, you want to say it with me? All right, say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, that Bible verse begins, for God so loved. You know that word love? You know what the Greek word for it is? Any Greek scholars? No? Nobody? I had a professor who would do that. He's like, no one knows French? No, sir, we don't. You know, the Greek word for love is agape. Now, you know what? There were a lot of other words for love of that day. But when they try to figure out a word that would explain how much different God's love was than every other type of love they knew, they had to make up a new word. They had to use a word that no one else was using. You know, Pastor Phil, he makes up words all the time. But none of them are as cool as agape. Agape love was a love of a totally different kind. And we find that this love of God is utterly unique. God's love is unique. All right, everyone say it with me. Ready? Say, God's love is unique. Ready? God's love is unique. There's no one like it. Nothing like it in the world. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. You see, the thing that makes God's love so unique is this. God's love is unconditional. All right, say it with me. Or say, God's love is unconditional. His love is unconditional. See, we don't deserve it. It's not based upon how good we are. It's not based upon how much I know. It's not based upon how much I don't pick my nose. It's, thank goodness, right, guys? We have evidence of that all over my house with four little boys. That God's love is not based upon how smart I am, how popular I am. God loves me just because. It's for whosoever's. It's for anybody. No matter what you've done, no matter now who you are, where you come from, God's love is unconditional. The third thing we understand is God's love is unlimited. All right, everyone go like this. Say, God's love is unlimited. All right. God's love is unlimited. There's no beginning and no end. There's no limits to how much he loves or how far he will love. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love never fails. Have you ever had a toy break? Did it fail you? Yes. God's love never breaks. God's love never wears out. God's love never fails. He says, we'll have everlasting life, unlimited life, life without end. In Titus 3, we hear this. Listen, boys and girls. But when God, our Savior, showed us his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the good things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new life, a new birth through the Holy Spirit. So God showing his love and kindness to us, did he save us because we are good? No. He saved us because he's merciful. He's gracious. And his love never fails. You see, there is nothing that you boys and girls, or any adults for that matter, can do to make you love God more. Did you know that? And there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. His love is unconditional, impartial, everlasting, infinite, perfect. That's the type of love that God has for us. Now, how many of you have ever been to a petting zoo? All right, what kind of animals did you pet at a petting zoo? A snake. You petted a snake? You girls are brave. I wouldn't. You pet two snakes. Man. A snake that wraps around your neck and kills you. She's one up and the boys may have two, but mine was deadly. You have a pet snake. I think I've lost control. All right, so Mamie Snake.
No, they took the venom out,
so it wasn't deadly anymore. Awesome. Sarah. Oh. A pig? A cow? Chickens? Any goats? No, no goats. And a pig. All right, Knox.
I petted a snake, and
What did we pet when we were at a petting zoo this summer that was really cool and weird and had a funny name? What was that? It was half zebra and half donkey. What do we call it?
Zonky.
A zonkey. All right, we got a picture. A zonkey right there and a zorse, but I'm a picture of that one. So aren't those cool animals you get to pet? Now, I'm going to tell you a story about a petting zoo. All right, everyone, quiet. No, wait, buddy. Now, a man named Dave, Dave Simmons, tells a story about when he took his kids to the mall one time. Quiet, guys. Now, his boy and girl, Helen, was 8 years old. Who's 8 years old? Anyone 8?
I'm almost
8. All right. That counts. All right. Who's? And then he had a son named Brandon who was 5 years old. Anyone 5 years old? Any 5-year-olds here? All right. So it was 8 and your 5-year-old. They went to the mall. Everyone go to the mall with their parents? Yeah, everyone saw? Yeah. Well, this time they showed up at the mall, and guess what was there? A petting zoo. Good. Great logic. All right, so there was a petting zoo there. And so if... I stepped on your toe. Oh, my goodness. Did it hurt? Not so much. A little bit? Yeah, okay. All right. So they went to the petting zoo was at the mall. If there was a petting zoo at the mall, what would you want to go to? Go to the store with mommy and daddy or go to the zoo and touch animals? The zoo, right? All right, so they went, daddy, 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 can we go to the petting zoo? And I was right next to where the daddy was and he could see the kid. So he's like, all right. And he threw them both a quarter. So little Helen and little Brandon ran over the petting zoo. But you know what happened when they got there? They found out that the petting zoo cost 50 cents. How many quarters is that? 2. Well, all of a sudden, little Helen comes back to hang out with her daddy. And at first, her daddy thought she really liked to look at power tools like he did. But that probably wasn't the case. And so he began to ask her, why aren't you going to the petting zoo? And she said to him, well, daddy, the petting zoo is 50 cents. And so I gave Brandon my quarter. Because you always say love is action. You see, for all those years growing up, they always would say around their house that when we love someone, it leads us to act on their behalf. And so she had saw her parents, she had saw her family do time and time again, showing what love is. Love is action. You see, they didn't just say love is action. That was the abbreviated form. It was love is sacrificial action. What does it mean to sacrifice something? You give yourself, you give something that you like up, right? And you give it up for someone else. See, the family said that love always pays a price. Love always costs something. Love is expensive. When you love, benefits accrue to another's account. Love is for you, not for me. Love gives, it doesn't grab. You see, Helen gave her quarter to Brandon to taste the sacrifice. She wanted to experience that total family motto. Love is sacrificial action. See, guys, that is what makes God's love so unique. Because the last thing God's love is, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only son. Was there anything in all creation that God loved more than his son? No. And he gave it freely. So that you and I could be forgiven. So that you and I could be loved. So that you and I could be renewed and loved unlike any other. Remember, what was so unique about the tarantula? The most unique that you couldn't see. It was his what? Blood. You see, the most unique thing about God's love is defined by blood as well. That Jesus Christ gave himself as a sacrifice for sins. Remember we said on day 4, 1 John 4:10? God loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice for sins. And because of that, boys and girls, you and I can be loved like none other. You see, God's love is unique. It's one of a kind. Let's pray, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for loving us so uniquely. Loving us like no one else does, that purely unconditional, unlimited, unique and sacrificial. Lord, thank you for giving us Jesus, who paid the debt that we needed to pay, who made possible for us to have life, to be forgiven, to be renewed, to be new creatures. And Lord, for loving us always and forever, of embracing us in the arms of our Father, never to let us go. And so, Lord, I thank you for these boys and girls. I thank you for all that they learned this last week. I thank you for so many who took those first steps of faith, Lord, and I pray that you would grow them to be mighty men and women of God. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys